Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of the book of Exodus. The Old Testament book of Exodus, Exodus in chapter 20. We are finishing up today this last message dealing with the Ten Commandments. And through this series, we've been walking through the Ten Commandments one by one by one, examining each one of these laws. And remember that each one of these Ten Commandments are not an expectation that we are to meet, but rather they're our schoolmaster that tells us the one thing: I need Jesus. That each one of them show that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Which each one of these Ten Commandments, it shows us where we fall short and how none of us are righteous. No, not one. But they're also a good thing that shows us that as we get close with Jesus, that Jesus can help us with each one of these. He can give us victories, that we can sin less and less and less as we tie ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. But knowing that on our own, we're all sinners. As we come to the last of these commandments here, let's put a great emphasis on it once again, just to see what God means by what He says, "Thou shalt not covet." If you don't mind, let's read the book of Exodus, chapter number 20, and what we call the Ten Commandments. And as we reach each one of these Ten Commandments, let's read the preface that God puts in there, that "I am the Lord thy God," before each one. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 1, the Word of God says this: "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which had brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I am the Lord thy God, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I am the Lord thy God, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not kill. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not commit adultery. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not steal. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark what is commonly called the 10th commandment in the book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17? The phrase, "Thou shalt not covet." Thou shalt not covet. And with the Lord's help, we're going to hit this 10th commandment: thou shalt not covet. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we approach you once again, we're just asking for your grace and your mercy upon us now. Lord, I'm asking that you would set aside any distractions, that you would put any flesh or anything that would keep us from receiving your word, set it out of mind right now. I'm asking that you would capture people's hearts, even from the youngest ones to the oldest ones, that you would capture their hearts. And that you would expose and put the spotlight of your Holy Spirit upon our hearts, that we could see the filthiness of it, but also see the solution that I need Jesus. Lord, I'm asking that you would give grace and that you would give mercy. Draw people to you today. Draw them close to you. Lord, I'm just a messenger and I'm just asking you to use me as such. The best I know how, I'm just asking, please fill me with your precious Spirit. I reckon myself dead. And once again, please just do your own work through your word. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. This 10th commandment deals with thou shall not covet. It's amazing that 7 times in this verse, God reminds us not to covet. Look again in verse number 17. It says, thou shall not covet thy neighbor's house. How many times you look at the house and say, you know, I wish I had a house that big. We were going door knocking yesterday and looking at all these big houses. Thou shall not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shall not covet thy neighbor's wife. If it doesn't belong to you, don't look. It says, thou shalt not covet his manservant. Hey, don't look at the employees or someone else. Don't covet his maidservant or other people that work for him. Don't covet his ox or the transportation, anything like that. Don't look at his car. Don't covet his ass. It's the donkey. Don't look at his livestock, his livelihood, or anything that is thy neighbor's. You know, he's trying to get across, don't covet, don't covet, don't covet. It doesn't matter what it is. It's their house, their transportation, their family, their kids. Don't covet. Well, I wish I had a child like that. Don't covet. Well, I wish I had a car like that. Don't covet. I wish I had a cheeseburger like they did. Don't covet. You know, this idea that God has to remind us, don't covet, don't covet, don't covet, don't covet. This is a big deal. You see, this commandment is not an obvious commandment when it's broken. For example, the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. You know, it's obvious when you lie. You know that I have purposely lied. You know when you steal. I purposely steal. There was intention there. But this is one of those commandments that is hard to see when you break. Because it's not an obvious thing. It's a matter of the heart. You see, this one, when you study it, becomes a lot more convicting because it shows us how filthy and dirty our hearts are. It's not an outward sin. It's an inward sin. Do you know that you can covet and no one else may know about it? This is a dangerous one because it's a matter of the heart. It deals with something called desire. Where are your desires kept at? Where are your desires at? Are they on things or are your desires upon the Lord? Notice with me as we introduce this, let's kind of see this idea of desires. Turn with me to the book of James. The book of James, towards the back of your Bible, it's right after the book of Hebrews, the book of James, chapter number 1. And let's see this idea of desire. Let's see this idea of lust, if we want to use that word. Let's look and see how it works within ourselves. James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1, and verse 14. James 1, and verse 14, the Bible says, but every man is tempted, but when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Here in the book of James, it describes how this process works. That before you go after something, it starts with a thought. You see, it's all about your desires. You're lusting. You desire something. Man, I could really use that cheeseburger. Oh, I could really use that cheeseburger. And you think about it over and over. Man, I've got a craving for that cheeseburger. Oh, I'm thinking about it. Oh, I just can't get it off my mind. I'm going to have to act on it. I'm going to have to go. You say, well, cheeseburger's not bad. Yeah, but you go ahead and replace whatever sin it is. I can use cheeseburger because that's not offensive. It's something different when you say, I really desire that woman. I really desire that. And you think about it in your own mind. You think about it and you think about it. Until it consumes you. Man, I really could use that car. Man, I really want that car. Man, I could. Look at that car. Look how great that is. You think about it. and you think about it until finally that lust conceives and you overspend. I can't afford it. Or you take something from someone. Man, I really like that jewelry that that lady has. I don't know wherever. Oh, and finally just take it. You see, that's how it goes. It starts with a thought. This is what the idea of covetousness deals. And that's why it's so dangerous, because it's a thought. It is the desire. It is a heart matter. It's not an outward sin. But if you think about it long enough, if you dwell over it long enough, it's going to show up. It's going to come out physically in other ways. Notice again what it says. But every man is tempted. Everyone is tempted. But when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do you know that's how sin always begins? It begins with a thought. And the thought will carry out to the actual act. And then the act, when it's forth, bringeth forth death. For the wages of sin is death. That there's consequences for all of our actions. But it begins with a thought life. Before you ever sin outwardly, it starts with a thought. It's the thoughts with something inside. Notice, if you don't mind, as Jesus deals with this issue in the gospel record of Luke, chapter number 12. The gospel record of Luke in chapter number 12. Again, this is just introduction. I'm just showing the idea of desire and where does it come from. The gospel record of Luke in chapter number 12. Jesus is dealing with someone who happens to come up to him. Luke chapter 12, notice with me in verse 13. Luke 12:13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance on me with me. So this guy came up and said, Jesus, tell my brother to share. He's not sharing. Can you imagine someone going up to Jesus and saying that? You don't have to imagine far if you got kids, right? My brother won't share. You may think it's cute. Sort of, when a child does it, it is not cute when an adult does it. You know, adults do that too. It's not fair. They need to share with me. I deserve this. Jesus, tell him to share. So Jesus knows what's in the matter of this guy's heart, and he deals with it. Verse 14. And he said to them, Man, who made a judge or divider, me a judge or divider over you? He says, take care of it yourself. This isn't for me. You need to take care of it of your own self. Then to show what is in that guy's heart, he continues with a parable to pull out and to show what is the problem. The problem is not the idea that his brother's not sharing or it's not fair. It's the idea of the guy having his own problem of covetousness. Notice in verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Well, Jesus prayed. Quite plain, isn't it? And he says, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whom shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God, or treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So Jesus says, all right, beware of covetousness. That's your problem here. It's not the idea that your brother's not sharing. It's the idea that you have a desire in your own heart. He says, let me tell you a story. There was a man who was rich, whose land gave up plenteous. And he had so much that he said, you know, I can't fit this in my current barns. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get brand new barns, brand new buildings, and I'm going to fill it up. And then I'm going to say, man, I'm great. Look at all my stuff. Man, I could take it easy. Look at all the things I have. Oh, look how wonderful I am. And God says, thou fool. He says, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. And he says, for whose shall those things be when thou�st provided? He says, all those things that you work for, all those bigger buildings, the bigger barns, when you die, you can't take it with you. He says, you work so hard to have things that when you die, you have nothing to show for it. You show up to heaven empty. You know, you don't see a U-Haul behind a hearse. You can't take any of it with you. It just can't happen. You have no use for it. You say, well, it could be buried with me. Yeah, but then no one else gets it either, right? Do you know that the house you live in, one day someone else is going to live in that house? The car that you're driving, one day someone else is going to have that car. Whether it's the junkyard or something else, someone else is going to have it. When you die, all your stuff goes to someone else. You can't take it with you. But you know, our life is consumed with stuff. Stuff. And a desire to get more stuff. Possessions are not a problem. It's when our possessions possess us. That's the problem. I got to have more. I got to have more. I got to have the newest and the latest. I got to have the greatest thing here. It's a problem of the heart. The coveting heart is always earthward and not mighty through the heavenly. This man, he gave thought to his body, but he didn't give thought to his soul, where it was going to go and the benefits of it. He gave thought through time, but he didn't give thought to eternity. He thought of worship of himself, but not of worship of God. He was consumed with things. And Jesus told this parable to tell this other guy that he had a heart problem. It's not fair. I deserve more. That's a covetous heart. You know, we live in a society where we're entitled and deserving. I deserve this. Isn't it horrible that adults throwing big old fits because they don't get their way? That's horrible. I deserve this. I'm entitled to this. Dear sir, dear ma'am, let me tell you what we do deserve. We all deserve hell. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. We deserve hell. Anything more than that is God's grace. We don't deserve anything. We're horrible, rotten sinners. None of us are deserving. You know, that's an attitude that we need to adopt, that anything God gives us above heaven is a huge blessing. To have a family is a blessing. To have a car is a blessing. To have a house is a blessing. Do you know that if you own a vehicle, or if your family owns a vehicle, you are on the top 10% of wealth of the entire world? You are wealthier than 90% of the rest of the world. Do you know that there's people across the world that would kill to be homeless in America because they eat better as homeless people in America than what they do as working people across the world? We are rich and spoiled and covetous and desire more and more, and we're not satisfied. We are not. And this is just an introduction. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, if you don't mind. The book of Hebrews. Let's get to the heart of the matter here. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13. It was right by the book of James, if you're looking for it. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Notice this. God gives us very clear instructions. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation, or the way that you live your life, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You see, the idea, the way to solve covetousness is with contentment. And it's contentment in Christ. You know that God said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. When you have Jesus, you have enough. When you have Jesus, you have all that you need. When we have Jesus, that's what we need. It's when we think that Jesus is no longer enough, we start to covet. Well, I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and I need this. Jesus is enough. We have to come to that idea that we are content in Christ. We're content with what Christ is. Now, if you don't mind, let's go back and let's examine this commandment. The first thing I'd like to show you is that the commandment not to covet. The command not to covet. When we covet, it is a sin against God. Because what we're doing is we're saying God is not enough. God is not enough. that God is always the goal. Remember, we've said over and over this year, it all begins with God. It all ends with God. God is the goal. That should be the goal. When you have God, are you doing it for the Lord? Are you doing it to please Him? Is it for the Lord? Everything that we have, your house should be for the Lord. Your car should be used for the Lord. Everything, your kids, your family should be used for the Lord's sake. That thank you for allowing me to have my kids to be able to use them to serve you. They should be everything. Even the cheeseburger that you eat. This is why we thank the Lord. I keep saying cheeseburger. Everybody's going to be hungry for cheeseburgers afterward. But you know, we should be thankful. That's why we pray before we eat. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to have this. Help me to use it to serve you more. Even the things that we have should be used to serve Him. Everything should be used for Him. It should be all about Him. He's the goal. And when we covet, it is against God, because our desire is not towards Him, it's towards us. Even in the ministry, preachers can covet. It's more obvious in the ministry when the goal is something other than God. When a preacher's goal is to have a bigger church, that's not the goal. The goal is God. He's coveting. You know, I don't keep track of how many people show up to church. You know why? The only reason why you keep track is so that way you could brag. You know how many people I had? And you know, other preachers tell it to other people. No, we're thankful for whoever God brings in. But we should be careful. What is the goal? My goal is to have $1 million given this year. Well, our goal should be God. We pray that it should all be for Him. What is the goal of this church? To please Him. To please Him. To please Him. But covetousness has an idea of pleasing our flesh. Pleasing us. Making us feel better. You know, going back to Joshua. We don't have to turn there, but may I remind you of the story of Jericho? And that God said, everything in Jericho is mine. It's mine, none of yours. But there was a man by the name of Achan who went and he found a Babylonian garment and found some silver and gold and some other things. And he took it. And even though God said it was all his, he took it for himself. I want this. And he buried it and he kept it and didn't even tell his family about it. But you know, it had consequences for him and his family because he was taking something that didn't belong to him because he coveted. He desired it. I know it doesn't belong to me. It's not God's will for me. You know, that's a good definition of covetousness. Covetousness is desiring something that is not God's will for you to have. That's a good definition. Covetousness is a desire to have something that's not God's will for you to have. You know that there's some things that God desires you to have, and there are some things that God does not desire you to have. We need to be satisfied with what God wants us to have. It's covetousness when we desire something and is not God's will for us to have. Even in David and Bathsheba, remember that story where David was the bad guy, and he looked at Bathsheba, and he desired her, even though she was already married, and he committed murder to have her. You see, that was the idea of covetousness. He looked at her and he desired her. And it wasn't God's will for him to have her. She was married to someone else. We see this commandment not to covet, that it's against God. God is enough and we should be satisfied with that. Lord, give grace and a wakefulness now. Turn with me to a second thing here. The book of Romans chapter 7. Not only the command not to covet, but to see the concealment of the sin. Concealment of the sin. Look with me in the book of Romans chapter 7. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 7. What shall we say then? In the law sin? Or is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law for which I have known. But by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Do you know that unless we're exposed to it, we don't even realize that we're coveting half the time? We don't even realize we're desiring something that's not God's will for us to have until God said, don't do it. Don't do it. You know, this is such a hidden sin. It's concealed. We usually don't think about it. You know, something as simple as the television. You know, the television, you know what commercials are made for? To make you covet. We don't watch television in our house. We have it electronic antenna just so that way we could get the weather storm, just in case there's a blizzard or tornado, we could get instructions. But the reason why we don't is because of commercials. We hate commercials, and we're not used to watching them. The other day, I decided, all right, let's let the kids watch the Macy's Day Parade. Let them see the parade. And they ended up just turning it off because there were so many commercials. They're like, we can't even watch the parade. There's commercial after commercial after commercial. And, forget this. We'd rather watch something else or do something else. They went to go play. My wife was telling me that she said it only took one commercial, and all of a sudden she felt in her own heart, man, I want that. I desire that. And it started building up. You know, the commercials, the whole thing is made to covet, to make you desire something that's not God's will for you to have. You know, without commercials, you wouldn't even know what you're missing. To be satisfied with what we have. But the Bible says, thou shalt not covet. We don't even realize we're desiring something that's not what God's will for to have until it's pointed out. It's such a constant thing. Where is our desire at? One last thing I'd like to bring to you is the contentment that God gives us to change our desire. You see, it's a matter of desire. Where is your desire at? Is it towards the Lord or is it about satisfying yourself? Now remember, all sin is open rebellion towards God. You can't covet and be pleasing to the Lord. You are in rebellion towards God when you're desiring something it's not God's will for you to have. You look at that thing and say, I want that, I want that. And God says, but I don't want you to have that. But I want it! That's rebellion. And we may not say it that way, but isn't it true in our heart? But I want it, but I want it, but I want it. It doesn't matter what it is. You have your own little pet hobby. Maybe you play video games and you say, I want it. Man, I can't wait it. I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. And you think about it, I want it. Maybe it is that juicy cheeseburger that you see some commercial for it. It's got melted cheese all over it. Just watching it, you're just, oh, I want it. I want it. Well, I know mom's making me, my wife's making me some dish over there. But I don't want that dish. I want that cheeseburger. You know what you're doing is you're rebellion. You're saying, I don't care what you want from me. This is what I want. That's what covetousness is all about. It's what you want. I want that brand new fishing rod. I want that brand new boat. I want that brand new car. I want, I want, I want. It's against God. It is rebellion towards God. Now, one way to prohibit the act of covetousness is to change our desire. It's all a matter of desire. Notice with me in the book of Colossians, chapter number 3. The book of Colossians, chapter 3. And let's see this idea of desire. Colossians, chapter 3. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and notice with me verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. Notice this, and be ye thankful. You know, one way we could change our desire is to be thankful for what we have. We're unthankful people. You know, when you desire something that's not God's will for you to have, it's because we're not thankful for what we do have. Man, I can't wait to get that brand new dress, that brand new clothes, brand new whatever else. Well, are you satisfied with what you do have? I understand there's an idea of needs when you have nothing and you need to get new things. But the idea of covetousness is getting those things that we don't need, that we just desire, and we're not satisfied with what we have. May I be transparent? Maybe you have the same thing. Have you ever looked at your refrigerator and you looked at your cupboards? And you have food there. You just don't want what you have. You're not thankful for what you have. And you desire something that's not there. Now, you say, that's not a big deal. Yeah, but it feeds something. You know, you start with those little things and you start feeding your flesh and then it comes to the big things. Well, I just looked at that jewelry and I just had to have it. You know, that's the problem with impulse buying, right? I just have to have it. And then you buy something that's now in your closet that you just had to have. How many of you have closets that have stuff in it that you just had to have at the moment? But Now, years later, you don't have any need. You don't even pull it out. You forgot that you even bought it. You know, we do that. That's our idea of covetousness. And it makes us spend money. It makes us to waste time and put our thoughts and emotions, desires to things that we didn't need in the first place. Well, I just had to have it. You see, we have to learn to control our desires at a small level, but the more you feed it, the harder it's going to be to resist when you can't afford it, when you definitely don't need it, when it's outside of your budget. And by the way, we're all guilty of it, including your preacher. We all struggle with it. We all struggle with it. Notice with me in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. The Bible says quite a bit about coveting. Again, what is the answer to coveting? It's contentment. It's to be content, to be satisfied with the things that God has given us. Notice with me, if you don't mind, 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. And notice what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 6. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Isn't that a powerful verse? Godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, we need to be godly and content with the things that God has given us. And then it's great gain. Why? First of all, we're not wasting time and emotions and feelings to something that we shouldn't have. We can move a lot further when we're not using our brain power to think about, oh, I want this latest thing. I can't wait to get this latest thing. I want this latest thing. I want this new thing. You know, doesn't that take a lot of brain power just to think about that, what you want over and over? You don't raise your hand, but how many of us have wasted time because we're thinking about lunch? Man, what do I want for lunch? I want that thing for lunch. I can't wait to have it. That's a lot of brain power that could be used for something else, right? You know, you get obsessed and you think about that one thing over and over. You get that craving, or you want that one thing, and that's all you think about. That new game, that new hobby, that new tool, that new thing, and you think about it over and over. It's wasting time. But godliness with contentment is great gain. You want to get ahead in life? You want to get ahead in your Christian life? Be satisfied with what God has given you, to be content. Notice what the Apostle Paul goes on to say in the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4, notice what he says in verse 11. The book of Philippians, chapter number 4. The book of Philippians, chapter number 4. And look with me in verse number 11. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, that's an important lesson here. He says, I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. The Apostle Paul says, you know what I learned? I learned that whether I'm in need or whether I'm not in need, that I learned to be content. He says, this was a secret. I learned to be content with what I have. You say, but I don't have a lot of stuff. Can you be content with that? You know, you don't have to be rich for your family to be happy. You don't need lots of things and the newest gadgets and the greatest games for the kids. You could be content and not have a lot. You can have a happy household without everything, just to be satisfied with Christ. You know, if your family is miserable, check to see if they're content. Can they be content in Christ? We need to be satisfied. Contentment is the only thing that deals with covetousness. That brings the question, is Christ enough? Or do you need Christ and something else? What is it that makes you satisfied? What is it that helps your house be at peace? Is it new things or is it Christ? What about when you're having a bad day? Some people, when they have a bad day, they feel better temporarily by shopping. When you have a bad day, are you satisfied with Christ? Is He enough? You see, it's all a matter of desire. Where is your desire? Could you honestly say in the middle of the mall on a special sale, Christ is enough? And mean it. You may tell it to yourself to try to convince yourself, but can you really mean it? Is Christ enough? Are you satisfied with Him? Some people say, the only time I get satisfied with Christ is when He's all I have. Don't get to the place where He makes you where He's all you have. Can you be satisfied with Christ? Are you satisfied with Him? Is he enough? You see, it all deals with a matter of a heart. And this is a heart matter. It is not an outside sin. It is an inside sin that maybe no one else in this room may never know about. But you know about it. Are you satisfied? Are you content? Is Christ enough? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.